Welcome to Lower Wacker Live for September 10th, 2019. I'm Justin Kaufman. Wow, what is it, 90 degrees outside? What's going on here? But I guess that's right. I guess it could go a long ways to explaining, you know, how I think that somewhere along the line we skipped a month or like this is August, even though it's September. But the last couple days were so fall-like. It was so great, 90 degrees. Although I always remember there was a 90-degree day in September. You get your nice clothes on to go to your sixth grade, get on that bus. You're like, yeah, I got my cool shirt I got from Yellowstone. Bring that back and wear it. You get some cool pants, maybe a long sleever. Then you get totally tricked. Next thing you know, you're sweating on the bus while you're trying to write something in pen on the actual seat. Like the little vandalizer that you are. Yeah, so I don't feel like this is new. But we're going to go walk on the track tonight. Like there's a track by our house. Like there's a new indoor or outdoor track. And already my wife's like, I'm not doing it. It's too hot. And I'm like, no, this is when you do it. This is when you push through. If you are a athletic specimen like myself, you don't let the elements get in the way. You know, when you're dedicated to your body as your temple, you really can't. You know, you got to all elements. You know what this is like, Pete. Being a vegan, you know what it's like. That you just have to push through. So last night we won our softball game. We did not play. Pete and I did not play because we had an Extension 720 show last night, and which was a lot of fun with Adam Hogue talking Bears. But we didn't get a chance to play. But the team won 7-1 to finish off the season 8-2, 8-2 in 16 in softball in the media league, going into the playoffs as the number 2 seed. The best stat: runs given up 59. That's under 6 runs per game in 16 in softball. I mean, again, a staple of a Kaufman led softball team. When you look to some of the, if you're a student of the game or the media league, like I know a lot of you are out there, if you look to some of the earlier 2011, 2012 championships that WBEZ, the team that I coached before, that was our staple, that we would not give up runs. It was something, I think it was even lower, like four runs a game. That's what I mean. That's the idea. You play defense, you win championships. So now it looks like next there's a play-in to get to who these 7 and 8 seeds, but if everything goes according to plan, the WGN team will take on the Onion in the first round of the playoffs. The Onion, a team that went to the championship last year, I know them pretty well. Their center fielder couldn't harangue the Kaufman line drive into right field, and because of that, we walked off last year to win the championship. So it could be a payback game, but I think this team is strong. I think it's going to go great. And coming up, this is probably going to be the best thing that ever happened in the history of the world. But on September 30th, the championship is set, and we're playing it in Forest Park behind the 16-inch Hall of Fame, which is right there, and it's a beautiful diamond. It's where they do the no-gloves tournament. And I have talked with the Hall of Fame and the Forest Park Park District, and they have all signed off that we can play our championship game in Forest Park. So how about that, huh? Under the lights, they got a PA, they got Pepsi in the. They don't do Coke, they do Pepsi in the concession stand. They might have licorice ropes, you know, nachos, soft serve ice cream, all sorts of stuff. So you should come out that day. It's a Monday night. Game started like 7 o'clock, and we're going to broadcast it, too, for WGN. It's going to be such a great, great experience. Anyway, that's coming up. So, all right, that's all I got. Let's get to the headlines. Mayor Lightfoot says she's angry and frustrated with the police over overtime pay. I guess they are the highest staffing levels in a long while, yet the overtime budget continues to get bigger as well. Never a fan of a mayor who goes after overtime pay, trying to paint police officers as milking the system, especially in a contract year, and especially since we don't know how crappy the actual system is, right? Like, even though we have more police officers, aren't we still way below the staffing level, what they should be? Isn't that what we've always heard? So this is the same thing they're doing with the teachers, where they get it to a certain point, it's way below what it should be, but they're like, hey, we added 10% officers. Yeah, I know, but you took away 60% officers to get here. That's the math. But again, I will entertain the question. The big question is, A, are police officers working overtime out of necessity? Are they picking up extra shifts and possibly fudging numbers to just get more money in their pockets? I only know my police procedures from police procedurals. And if Sipowicz taught me anything, it's that cops hate paperwork and drink a lot and show their butts on TV. But that's really all I know. So I'd have to do a deep dive to really find out what's happening here. The mayor also announced that she's looking into a congestion tax. Isn't that what Mucinex is for? Hey-o! Oh, traffic congestion. She announced it while standing on the stage with Uber. Have you been to Michigan Avenue lately, Mayor? That's your stage mates are the culprit for any congestion in the city. There is not a time I don't look left and right when I'm in a traffic jam and that little O'Hare sticker is on the back of these cars, man. What are you talking about? I love that it's somebody else's problem. We're going to tax everybody else. We're going to tax everyone who's not Uber. What? That's like 18 of us. What are you talking about? Instead of a tax, I think it should be if the douche Uber driver decides to double park on Lake Street and back that all the way up on the way in and you get there and you see the guy just sitting there, that's 6 months in county. I don't think it should be a fine or a tax. I think it should be right to 6 months in mass incarceration of rideshare drivers. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense. I'm going to talk to my alderman about it. Take that meeting. The Art Institute is planning a huge makeover of their entire Michigan Avenue Grant Park location, but have no fear, the Lions will stay. Is that really the fear? Are we all dying that the Lions would be removed from Michigan Avenue? Where would we put those oversized Bears helmets when they make the playoffs? What about the Ferris Bueller painting? That better stay. I don't want to. Rumor has it they're going to put up those high-tech trip wires, you know, that they have around the paintings. They're just going to put them all around the whole campus. You try to cut through to go to Lala next time, and it'll be like, bee-doo, bee-doo. Some security guy's like, move away from the campus. I just want to spread some peanut butter on this painting. What's the big deal? I want to do a bit. We can do this as like sort of a Andy Kaufman type bit where we go with a couple of toddlers to the Art Institute, but we make their paint, like finger paints all over their hands, like huge, like you just see it almost like dripping. And you're like, we're just going to look. We're just going to look and then go in there and watch the, and make these security guards work as they kind of like beeline for the Warhol. I think it'd be a good bit, right? Yeah, until it actually works and the security guards don't do anything and it ruins a painting, but still. Maybe it's not a good bit. Chance the Rapper's pushing back his world tour to spend time with his family. The same family he wrote his album for? Wow. He really loves these guys, but let's be honest, you weren't going to see Chance at the United Center or whatever, so what do you care? Good on you, Chance. It's like we're all like, oh, no, on the world tour? You're going to pay $175 to go see some songs? At the United Center? Well, thanks. But hey, I love Chance the Rapper. He's all good. I feel like I may have aged out of, maybe I've always aged out because when I saw Chance do a set at Pitchfork for the, with what's his name? The trumpet guy that's with him. I was already aged out. That's the moment where we were there and you get all the teenagers and their bare chested sneak buys. You know, while you got your polo shirt on, you're just watching it, and they just got to sneak by, and they so much sweat on their bodies it touches you, and you're like, "What are you doing?" And then you see someone you know, like your friend's daughter. Oh, and then you don't say anything because you realize at that moment that you have aged out of a Chance the Rapper show. So that was 10 years ago or 5 years ago. I feel like I'm already there. All right, let's get to sports. The Cubs started a crucial West Coast swing, beating the Padres in 1-4. Big game, too, with the Cardinals idle and the Brewers winning in Miami. But the storyline had to be, who the heck is playing infield? Prize prospect Nico Horner made his big league debut. He was drafted last year, and he's already up in the bigs, out of necessity, of course, because Baez and Russell are hurt. But still, the Sox number one was Nick Madrigal in 2018, right? Still a question if we're going to see that dude next year. But Horner did not disappoint. He got two hits and drove in a couple runs. He's fast, too. Anyway, what a great thing for Cubs fans. You can bring up a rookie and he has impact right away. Good on you, Cubs fans. As a Sox fan, I'm like, they can do that? You know how many times like the rookie has come up? We had Dylan Cease or Eloy Jimenez, and you're like, 0-4. He's got to figure out the pitching. He'll figure it out. 7 runs given up, 6 walks. He'll figure it out. He's still really good, right? 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 Nico Horner comes up. They're like, he should not be here. Oh, there's a double down the line, and he did it in a crunch time and brought 2 runs in. You're like, come on. But there you go, huh? I love it, too. He's and you know right now that MLB.com's getting a ton of traffic from a bunch of dudes in Wrigleyville. Like, yeah, like, please get Road Gray. It's Horner. H-O-E-R-N-R-R. Done. Cool. You need my credit card number? Cool. It's 5444. Got to get it for Christmas. So the Cubs will try and keep the road demons away again tonight. They can feast a bit because they got 19 games left and a pretty easy schedule. In fact, the only hard part is playing 7 games against the Cardinals. The Cardinals, on the other hand, they got the Diamondbacks, the Brewers, and the Cubs down the stretch. Diamondbacks lost last night, so the Brewers now are the next team up, two back of the Cubs in the wild card. The Sox, they had the day off yesterday, but they are at home now for a set with the Royals. The Sox will throw Ivan Nova tonight. I was looking at the Sox free agency numbers for next year, and they have engineered this team pretty much so that nobody is signed long-term. Rookies are still on rookie contracts, and vets are pretty much unrestricted for next year. Wow. That's crazy when you see all that. Like, you see the Boston Red Sox. I mean, they won the World Series. Now you know why. They threw a stat up on Whip Around last night where they owe like $500 million to six players. It's crazy. They signed Sale to an extension. Nate Eovaldi, when he came over, got money. David Price is getting a ton of money. JD Martinez getting a ton of money. Sander Bogart's getting a ton of money. This is down the line, ton of money. And that's why they are firing their GM, because they're like, someone looked at the bottom line. It's like, what the? That's why Dave Dombrowski got canned. But it's really interesting to look at that and then look at the White Sox, who, honestly, look at this. This will blow your mind. So Giolito and Moncada, they're getting paid less than $1 million apiece. Giolito's getting paid $550,000 this season. Better yet, Ross Detweiler, who's the Sox number five pitcher, he's getting paid just over $100,000 to pitch. I thought there was a baseball minimum. He's getting $100,000 to pitch this year. The White Sox have to finish over 500 the remaining games to avoid 90 losses. That journey starts tonight. But that's crazy to me that a guy would get paid $100,000. I feel like you could manage a Wendy's and get $100,000. Maybe that's what he was doing. Maybe he had to make a career decision, Detweiler. It's like, oh, I don't know, I'm doing so well. You know, I'm the assistant manager at the Great Outdoors. I get, it's great Benny's package. Or I could go for a little less money and pitch for the White Sox in the major leagues. I don't know. Bears are off today. They'll start their game planning for Sunday's matchup with their old defensive coordinator Vic Fangio and the Broncos tomorrow. The Broncos got smoked last night on Monday Night Football. Fangio's Broncos defense was beat up on the ground and in the air from the Raiders of all teams. Wow. Joe Flacco reminded me that he is indeed Joe Flacco. That's good. So not concerned about the Bears going in. They're going to get a W on Sunday, I'm telling you. Although I'm sure Denver fans are like, whew, tough to lose to the Raiders. Good thing we got the break against the Bears next week. Trubisky, awesome. Today, the pundits were all over Fangio and the Broncos D for being so bad. It's just so interesting. Let's hope we get John Fox Vic Fangio as opposed to last year's Vic Fangio. There were some years with Fox's team where Fangio was given, that defense was giving up 30 points a game. They get blown out against Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and everybody who came through. So, you know, let's pump the brakes on him being the biggest defensive genius of all time. He does have Von Miller there, but, and they said Von Miller didn't even get a touch the quarterback last night, which is crazy to think about since that guy's in so many Old Spice commercials. And last night we did a Monday Evening Quarterback with Adam Hoge on WGN. We did an entire hour on the Bears, and we did not mention the kicker once. Isn't that crazy? That's what you can expect from me. I'm not getting any circus games. And circus games, go to the USA Today. That's more your speed. The USA Today kicking circus games or Sports Illustrated. You want the real deal where we don't talk about kickers because we're a real football town? You come to me. We didn't mention the kicking game one time. It didn't do anything. They didn't even bring him on the field. So how about that? All right. The Sky, ready? I told you I'm the Chicago Sky. They're getting ready for their one-game playoff tomorrow night at the Wintrust Arena. They take on the Phoenix Mercury. Let's talk about another Sky player you need to know about, and that is Diamond DeShields. Woo! Second-year player, first-round draft last year. Super athletic, averaging about 14 points a game. Courtney Vandersloot is setting records, sure, but the face of this team wears cool glasses. She's got a very Matt Sable look going with the visor goggles. But she's usually matched up with the top players on the other side of the ball. She continues to draw double teams on the offensive side, giving Vandersloot many options to distribute to open players. That's why Courtney Vandersloot's got so many assists, because Diamond DeShields and her cool sunglasses are kicking it. Okay, you ready? Some fun facts to wrap up Lower Wacker Live about Diamond DeShields. All right, her first name is not Diamond. Go figure. Okay, what else you got? Secondly, she was recruited to play at North Carolina. She shot lights out her freshman year and then transferred out of North Carolina to Tennessee. Who does that? Who transfers from North Carolina in basketball, right? It worked for her. She also plays in Turkey in the offseason, just like Courtney Vandersloot. And the best fun fact of all time, she is the daughter of baseball player Delino DeShields and the brother of Delino DeShields Jr., who plays on the Rangers. And her mom, a heptathlete, which I heard has no cure, but there are good treatment plans. So, all right, that's all I got. Ghost Guy, Lower Wacker Live for September 10th, 2019. Beats by Wes Restless, and we will talk to you tomorrow.